Blog Talk Radio.
I was sick too. I was sick all through September. 3 weeks I was sick, man. I didn't take any medicine though, because I don't trust the shit anymore. I'm paranoid, man. I've noticed over the last couple of years, any new medicine that they advertise on TV, the last 20 seconds of the commercials are just totally psycho side effects to whatever they're trying to advertise. You ever notice that shit? And they always try to slide it in real quick, too, like it's no big deal. Just like, yeah, it cures your headache. Everything's great. Then your ear falls off, you can't feel your feet, and you won't recognize your mother. 40% of the people were bleeding from the ass, and one guy thought he was a pigeon. I'm not even exaggerating that bad. I saw this shit the other night, right? It's supposed to cure, like, stomach acid. End of the commercial, the three side effects were migraine headaches, abdominal pain, and diarrhea. Who the hell would try that shit? You basically try that shit. You go from, like, one problem to three. You're just walking away like, how's your stomach acid? It's great. Never felt better. No, diarrhea is not a side effect. That is a major goddamn problem. All right, where I'm from, the evening is over. What, are there actually people out there like, oh, this little diarrhea, don't worry. Just gonna kind of slam my ass cheek shut. I'll be all right. Actually, diarrhea is the least of my problems at this point. It's helping to take my mind off the migraine headache and the knifing abdominal pain in my stomach. Dude, you don't try anything that causes diarrhea. Diarrhea is evil. That is basically your body going, you know what? You have something so foul within your system, we can't wait for the normal process of elimination. We have to get rid of that shit right now. Yeah, but dude, I'm still on the bus. Fuck it, now! You have some evil in your ass, and it has got to go immediately. We must override all do not shit in your pants systems because you, sir, have a storm brewing. All right, my name is Bill Burr. You guys have a lot of fun. Thank you very much.
I knew you'd appreciate that. There goes our family rating anyway.
Didn't they block out all the foul language? I don't know.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, he's like, I don't trust any of that crap on television where they're telling you, oh, take this pharmaceutical, it's wonderful, blah, blah, blah. But then you watch and listen to the last 20 seconds of the recording and or the commercial, and it gives you all these horrible side effects, and it makes you forget. It makes me forget what the commercial was actually for, the pharmaceutical was for to begin with. I'm like, oh my God, I don't want that. You know? And that's why we study free food and medicine. So I want to take my hat off to Bill Burr for pointing that out.
Even though it makes you walk around like you're a pigeon.
Well, I mean, you know. That was an exaggeration, but he says he wasn't even exaggerating all that bad. Some of the side effects are horrible.
No, he actually wasn't.
So anyway, we're talking about allergies tonight.
Well, yeah, like a medicine to cure depression that may cause you to have suicidal tendencies.
Right, what's up with that?
And that's real. There are medicines like that that have those side effects. It's like, isn't that supposed to stop, if it's supposed to stop depression, isn't it supposed to stop suicidal tendencies? Like, no, he's perfectly happy, but he still wants to kill himself.
Right.
Oh my God. Okay, so yeah, the plant that grows when ragweed is releasing its pollen is goldenrod.
Goldenrod.
Goldenrod. And for the longest time when I was a kid, they blamed goldenrod, and they were exterminating goldenrod because they thought it was the source of hay fever. No, it's ragweed. Goldenrod has a big yellow flower, and well, a bunch of small flowers, but it's got this, you know, fantail of little flowers. It is very prominent, stands out when you see it in the field. And growing with it is ragweed, which has these little teeny tiny green flowers. You know, it doesn't even look like a flower. It's just green. And they release tons of pollen. All right. And so ragweed got goldenrod in trouble. All right. So what's goldenrod good for?
What I think is interesting is a lot of these plants that are diagnosed for hay fever seem to bloom or are ready around the time that people get hay fever, like goldenrod, elderberries. I'm not sure about the rest of them, but what the book says, the Free Food and Medicine book for hay fever says, well, the common knowledge, everybody knows about this one, is bee pollen. Eat local honey or bee pollen. Right. But what they don't know is burdock, chaparral, how you spell that? How you pronounce that? Chaparral?
Chaparral.
Chaparral, yeah, chaparral. Elderberries or elderflowers, garlic, goldenrod, ground ivy, juniper, lobelia, marshmallow, Mormon tea, also known as ephedra. That's a plant that grows out in the desert. Mullein, nettle, parsley, plantain grows everywhere. And then persimmons are usually ready right around hay fever season. Sage.
Okay, maybe.
Sagebrush, and wild thyme. So today we're going to talk about goldenrod.
Well, okay, I'd point this out though. Your observation that these plants are these cures for hay fever are generally available when hay fever cures are needed. It could be that they plants that could cure hay fever, they're not available at the time that the cure is needed, might not have been tested because they weren't available.
That's a possibility, and that's just a Free Food and Medicine book. I also got a backyard medicine book that has a list of stuff too. And, you know, like Marcus Rothkranz says in his book, find three other sources to back up his source.
Right.
So after you get done listening to this podcast and you want to do your own homework, you should check out Marcus Rothkranz's book, check out Backyard Medicine book, check out other books. We'll actually even look up on WebMD.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, WebMD is a good place to go look. I mean, they may be anti, you know, whatever, but at least they do give you the negative possibilities, and you should be aware of those.
Right.
Be aware of them. You know, you should take that into consideration. See what studies have they actually done to back up their stuff. And that's the important thing. Look for the studies. Because, you know, I could say all sorts of things about the benefits of this, that, or the other. But if I'm not listing studies, then really it's just, I can't even think of the word for it. It's anecdotal, what I tell you.
Yeah,
you
mostly I use WebMD whenever I'm helping other people who might be on pharmaceuticals because WebMD is great for letting you know which herbs and pharmaceuticals don't go together. For example, the interactions, it says, for goldenrod, it basically says water pills or diuretic drugs interact with goldenrod. So if you're on a water pill or a diuretic drug, you may or may not want to take goldenrod, depending on, you know, what the consequences are. Goldenrod seems to work like a water pill by causing the body to lose water. So if you need a water pill, maybe get off your pharmaceutical and take goldenrod.
Now, does it do the same thing as water pill, or is it doing the opposite?
It says goldenrod seems to work like water pills by causing the body to lose water. Taking goldenrod along with other water pills might cause the body to lose too much water. Losing too much water can cause you to be dizzy and your blood pressure to go too low. Some water pills, including, I can't pronounce these words, blah, 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 and others. So basically, WebMD is saying right there, if you're retaining water and you need to lose water weight, take goldenrod because it works like a water pill.
Right. And it'll probably be better on your system.
Exactly. There's a lot of people out there that don't believe in alternatives, but they would believe what WebMD might say. And so that's why I use them as a cross-reference.
Right.
Now, WebMD says that goldenrod is used for spasms, swelling, inflammation of the mouth, throat, and lower intestinal tract, wounds, gouts, arthritis, kidney stones, there you go, skin conditions, tuberculosis, diabetes, enlargement of the liver, hormones, I guess, for hormonal balances, internal bleeding, asthma, hay fever, prostate enlargement, and other conditions.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know if it balances the hormones, but I'm assuming that's what it's for. Diabetes, internal bleeding. I mean, that's crazy. But if you got internal bleeding, maybe you might want to take goldenrod.
Right. And one of the sites I'm looking at right now says goldenrod has another name. It's called wound wart. In other words, I like yarrow because yarrow stops your bleeding, you know, almost instantly. You rub powdered yarrow into your wounds and you know, I suppose a more severe wound, it wouldn't stop it. But, you know, if you scratch yourself and you're bleeding, you rub some yarrow powder into it and it stops it. Well, apparently goldenrod has that same property.
So, there you go.
It's another one to use. Now, I am looking at this one site. It talks about look-alike. All right, so apparently ground goldenrod and let's see now, trying to find the name of the plants that says they're look-alike. Okay, ragwort, ground cell, life root, staggerweed. All right. Many of these are poisonous, and apparently they're lookalikes to goldenrod. And it's important when you go out. This is one thing I learned from my mushroom class. All right? When you're picking, you know, plants, mushrooms and other plants in general, you should be aware that there are plants that are lookalikes, okay? Some people can't tell the difference between yarrow and Queen Anne's lice. And if you don't have the ability, it's obvious to my eyes and probably to yours, but if it's not obvious to your eyes, then you might actually make the mistake of picking up
hemlock.
Hemlock. All right? You might pick up hemlock.
Well, yeah, you might. You might pick hemlock thinking it's elderberry flowers.
That's true too. All right? And, you know, now to me, there's a radical difference between those plants. I have a hard time even seeing how people would think they're the same, but I've been looking at plants for a long time. And before I took my mushroom class, most mushrooms look pretty much alike to me, and I was afraid to eat this, that, or the other. Now, I still have a healthy fear of mushrooms, but I now have under my belt about a half a dozen mushrooms I know on site I can eat.
I know about three.
Yeah, okay. And you know, you should know, be aware of lookalikes of any plant that you're looking at. And, you know, when you look through the books, you might think, oh, wow, that look like it's, I can't believe anybody thinks that looks like that plant. Well, then you know you're probably relatively safe because that's probably the closest lookalike. All right. But I would look through multiple books, find three sources of lookalikes because, you know, somebody might think that another plant is a lookalike also, you know, and so you go through that and you verify and there might be one that's really close, you know. And this website, they're saying, you know, he can't give a hard, fast rule for how to differentiate between goldenrod and these other species because, you know, and he gives his reasons in it. And you should be aware of that. You should go through and thoroughly study what is the difference between ground cell. It's groundsels. All right. What's the difference between that and goldenrod? What's the difference between ragwort and goldenrod? Okay. And you should look at that. All right. And if you're going to go out and pick wild carrots, it's really important that you know the difference between carrots and wild hemlock. You know, if you're picking wild parsley, you should know the difference between wild parsley and hemlock. All right? You know, there's similarities. They're related even. You know? So, it's one of the reasons I tend not to touch wild carrot. You know? I'll eat Queen Anne's lace because I know what it is. But, you know, you know, the other members of the family, I tend not to touch because I, you know, I don't know enough to know the difference.
Right. So, in the Free Food and Medicine book on page 124 and 125, it says goldenrod grows next to ragweed and is the antidote for ragweed. People think they're allergic to goldenrod, but it's actually the ragweed right next to it causing the allergy. Canada exports tons of goldenrod to Europe and the UK for allergies because it doesn't normally grow in Europe. It is a great herb for allergies, hay fever, colic, and gas. The seeds are a food source. Flowers can be chewed for sore throat, anti-inflammatory, or it's basically saying it's an anti-inflammatory, used for urinary system, kidneys, kidney stones, or gallbladder stones, used in, Dutch. I don't see this word very often. Used in douches for yeast infections. I was like, if that was Dutch, it should be capitalized. Anyway. My bad. Anyways, used in douches for yeast infections. Okay, to use this plant, harvest the flower right when it's young and starting to make, and make tea with it. The young, tiny yellow flower clusters has a pleasant anise-like flavor. Yeah, that's if you like black licorice. Anyways, but the older, bigger flower clusters have a bitter taste. You can still use the older flowers for the anti-allergy benefits, but it just doesn't taste as good. Flowers, leaves, and seeds are used. There are 100 species. They grow up to 7 feet tall. And that's what Marcus Rothkranz has to say on the subject.
I have never seen 7 foot tall goldenrod.
Well, that's probably the Canadian goldenrod.
Right, yeah, and that's the one thing this one site was saying. There's lots of different goldenrods. Mine's gone. Right, and that's one of the reasons why I couldn't give a fast rule for distinguishing them from its poisonous relatives. In other words, you have to become very familiar with the goldenrod and the other plants in order to tell the difference. You know, and that's, you know, there's more than one hemlock out there. And that's one of the reasons why I don't know the difference between hemlock and some of the other relatives that are edible. You know, so,
yeah, I can identify two of the hemlocks. I don't know how many hemlocks there are, though.
Right, yeah, there's, yeah. Yeah, we've got two of the hemlocks on our land. One of them grows very tall, and the other one stays very short. They both have those sticker seeds that stick to your clothes. The tall ones that I was concerned about, because they were growing in the middle of my in the middle of our Jerusalem artichokes, I pretty well exterminated that patch. You know, I went through and cut out all the plants after they flowered, and that seemed to be very effective. They didn't grow back with more flower heads afterwards. So,
okay, according to Google, there are 14 varieties of hemlock. Oh, wait,
wow.
That's the tree.
Oh, yeah, the hemlock tree is edible. My mom found that out. It's one of the pine trees. It's a type of pine, all right? And it's not related in any way, shape, or form to carrots, hemlock, parsley, you know, none of that. Which is funny because my mom was nibbling on pine needles, she told me, and somebody dropped her in her ear, you know that's hemlock, don't you?
Right.
And it scared her.
There might only be two. They call it poison hemlock and water hemlock.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, that said, then there must be three, because I don't think either hemlock we have are water hemlock, unless water hemlock grows in the fields, but I'd think water hemlock would grow near water. I'm ignorant. I can't say one way or the other.
Me too.
Anyway, that's actually kind of a rabbit trail from what we're trying to talk about, and that's goldenrod. So.
That's true. But I hear hemlock tastes pretty good.
Yeah, I've heard that many people have reported that it tastes just like parsnips. And they almost always died within 3 days after having that very tasty meal. So.
Is it a painful death?
I don't know. I haven't gone through it personally, and I don't know anybody who's gone through it. So, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
My.
Well, we'll have to talk about that on another podcast.
Right. Not recommended. Talking about it is recommended, but the plant itself is not recommended for consumption.
Right. Okay, so goldenrod. I guess we're lost for words. We only got 2 minutes remaining.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Do you want to finish this? I'm tired. I just got done working all day. And
honestly, I don't have much to say on it other than what I've already said.
All right. Ask Almighty Google, the new world order god, and... And maybe next week. Oh, by the way, forgive us for skipping the last 2 weeks. We just got so busy. But next week we'll do our podcast. Maybe we'll if we go into overtime, then we'll have an extended version at freefoodandmedicine.org. Of course, you'll also find a copy of this podcast at freefoodandmedicine.org. When I have time to get around to doing the uploads, I'm a little behind, so forgive me for that as well. We're just like uber busy right now. So, that being said, we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Goodbye, folks.